Thank you for singing Make Me a Blessing. And I want to tell you, you are a blessing to me and to my wife, Adrian. And what a delight it is to be walking with you during these weeks until the Lord sends us our new pastor. And I'm excited that he's going with his dear family to arrive in this city and into their new home this week. Isn't it exciting? Say amen. Amen. And you keep praying for Pastor Jonathan and family as they get settled here in this wonderful community of Cambridge. And this morning we've just been singing Make Me a Blessing. I want you to think more about that as we talk together about a Bible verse that you will find in the book of Romans chapter 12. And I would invite you to turn to that chapter, Romans 12. And also, if you will find in your bulletin a little apple green sheet like this, you can take some notes this morning to help you remember the wonderful truths that we want to think about today. And the theme this morning is Christ's Lordship of My Resources. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, we find the whole chapter is dealing with Christ being Lord of my life. Every one of us has a choice. Either I'm going to rule my life or I'm going to let the Lord rule my life. Many of you have made the choice to say, if I do it, I'm going to mess it up. But I can trust God to guide my life and make it fulfilling and meaningful, and you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage all of you who've done that to keep that same heart commitment and give Him everything you are and have. You'll recall a few weeks ago as we were starting this Romans chapter 12, verse 1 talks about Christ's lordship of my body. And I asked you a question, how many of you have a body? And it looks like most of you do. And how blessed is the person who says, I want Christ to be in charge of this hunk of flesh. And verse 2 talks about Christ's lordship of my mind. What do I think? Your thought life is not known by anybody else except you and God. He reads minds. He knows what you're thinking this very moment. And how blessed is the person who says, Lord, I want you to be in charge of my thought life. Keep it pure and right and helpful. Last week, one guy in Denver used his mind after thinking of some awful things to kill a whole bunch of people because he let his mind direct his actions, and his mind was not directed by the Lord. It was under the control of Satan and his own evil propensities. And your mind and my mind can do all kinds of awful things unless we bring those minds under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Later, we talked in this wonderful chapter of Romans 12 of Christ's lordship of my self-esteem. What do I think about myself? Am I worth anything? And of course, you are worth everything. That's why Jesus died for you on the cross, because He loves you and He wants you to be with Him forever and ever. Did you know you have a never-dying soul? And someplace a million years from now, you're still going to be you, either in heaven or in hell. As simple as that. And then it goes on to tell us in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8, Christ's lordship of my capacities, my giftedness. God has gifted every one of you in different ways. And this chapter goes on to talk about Christ's lordship. Today, we come to verse 13. And you see it there on the screen as it is found in the New American Standard Bible. Read that with me, that little verse. Say it with me out loud. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And in the King James Version, it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And I want to tell you this, that Adrian and I have been very wonderfully hospitalitized here during these months that we've been working with you, and a number of you who invited us into your hospitable care. That's interesting, those two words, hospital and hospitable, and hospitality sound very similar, don't they? And that's because the word hospital means to bring renewed health. And that's what hospitality does. It brings a renewed health to the people that we reach out to. So as we think today about Christ's lordship of my resources, how much stuff do you have? Wow. Adrian and I are discovering how much stuff we have. We've been living in the same home for 27 years in Kitchener, from 1985, when we brought my parents from Michigan to live with us. And we found this home with an in-law suite on the main floor, and we still had four sons at home, so that was a house full. And my parents now have gone on to glory. And our guys have gotten married, or our mentally handicapped son is now living on his own under the care of Christian Horizon. So it's just Adrian and I in a home that could take care, well, with five bedrooms and four bathrooms and all the rest, that's a lot of space. Well, I tell you what happened. A few months ago, our son Dan and his wife Melody approached us saying, could we buy your home and you continue to live in the in-law suite, and we'll live in the main part with our kids. So we are now in the process of doing that. And now, the last several weeks, the in-law suite, we moved out of that into the main part while the in-law suite was being renewed, and now we moved back into the in-law suite. And now the contractor and his team of three men are working on the main part of the house, and it's a mess right now. And yesterday, we removed some more stuff out of the house. This last week, I took 14 boxes of things that had formerly been my treasures. And if I'm going through a grieving process, you'll understand, won't you? Have you ever heard of a place called Value Village? They have been enriched this past week with my treasures, my resources that we just don't have room for anymore. And downsizing, you've heard that term. Well, it really is down. It's a downer. I once saw a bumper sticker on the back of a great big motorhome that had a boat on top and a motorcycle attached to the back of it, and it said this: he who dies with the most toys wins. And for many people, that's the thought. The more stuff I can accumulate that's fun to do especially, that makes me a winner. Well, I want you to know this, that two men were talking about a multimillionaire who died. And they watched his casket going into the hearse and driven to the cemetery. The one guy said to the other, I wonder how much that fellow left behind. And the other fellow said, everything. You don't see a Brinks truck following a hearse. Why? Because this life is the only time that we have for the stuff, the resources that God's given to us. But there's coming a day when we will be wrenched from everything that we have hung on to. And so it's a good experience that Adrian and I are going through now to say goodbye to this, goodbye to that, goodbye to that, goodbye to that. But I want you to think, though, that Christ says to us, I want you to give me your resources. Make me Lord of everything that you have. And as you look at that sheet that you have here, I want you to think about, but let me ask this question. How many rich people are here this morning? Would you raise your hand? I see a few voters. Let me ask you a second question. How many of you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Raise your hand. Okay, now let me ask the question again. How many rich people are here this morning? Oh, okay. You got the message. You did. In fact, there's a song that I fell in love with some time ago that I recorded with an orchestra in California. And I brought them with me here today, and the conductor is called Johnny. Johnny, if you will conduct that orchestra, let me share this, how rich I am. How rich I am since Jesus came my way, redeemed my soul and turned my night to day. How very rich, how very rich I am. Such peace and joy I never knew before, and countless blessings from His boundless store. How very rich, how very rich I am. There's a greater glory in a sunset, a brighter twinkle in a star. There's much more promise in a rainbow, more music in a singing bird. By far, all things have changed. My eyes, once blind, can see. The whole wide world is now a symphony. And with all this, heaven is my destiny. How rich I am! Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Things have changed, my eyes once blind can see. The whole wide world is now a symphony. And with all this, heaven is my destiny. How rich I am. Did you get the message? We are rich if we are in Christ. And that's the people Paul was talking to here in Romans chapter 12. And I want you to think about it. First of all, notice this. Every Christian has resources. Not just the stuff that's in your house. By the way, you know the difference between stuff and junk? And we've had to make that choice over and over again, thousands of times in these last few days. Junk is the stuff you get rid of. And stuff is the junk you keep. But all of us have material things. Yeah, material things. Just think of all the material things you've got, and if you've forgotten, just look in your closet and start pulling stuff out. Yesterday, I was pulling out boxes of all kinds of things I have kept for years, some of it from my father, all stuck into a section of the garage. Yesterday, I made the decision to pull all those out. And we sent and took to the landfill site in Waterloo a total of 455 kilograms of stuff that I determined was junk. But all the stuff that we have, but you have all kinds of resources tangibly. Material things, but not only material things, you have spiritual things. And I want you to think about that for a moment. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are so rich spiritually. What do you have? Well, maybe I should say, who do you have? Did you realize the moment you opened your heart to Jesus Christ, He came to live within you? God, the Holy Spirit, came to live in your body. You are so rich, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God lives within the believer. Isn't that amazing? Don't you feel rich? What a resource you have to call upon Him, not only in time of need, but when everything's going good, and just call on Him and say, Lord, thank you for blessing my life. I feel so rich in Jesus Christ. Not only do you have Him Himself, but you have spiritual gifts that He has given. All kinds of spiritual gifts that God entrusts to His children, and they may be different from the other people sitting around you here, because God designed that each of us should be able to share with each other. And you have a special gifting in this area, this other person, another special gifting here, but we help each other. It's just like your body. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says, wouldn't it be sad if your whole body were just an eye? Can you imagine an eyeball rolling down the road of life? That wouldn't do too good all by itself, would it? It needs the rest of the body. And maybe my forehead scratches or itches. Can it itch itself? No, but it sends a message to this finger. Said, would you? Oh, yeah. Oh, that feels so good. That's because every part of your body is different, but it's all made to help the rest of the body. And that's the way God made His people, His church. When we say His church, I'm talking now about every true believer. There are a lot of people who go to church that aren't church, because they haven't received Jesus as Savior yet. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're part of the redeemed family of God. That's what the real church is. The church isn't a building, it's people. Church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means called out. And God called every one of us to come out of the rat race of this life and commit ourselves to the well-ordered, beautiful, fulfilling life that God intends for every one of us to have. And as a result, God then gives to us spiritual gifts of helps, of teaching, of leading, of giving. All of these are spiritual gifts. We read about them. There's a whole list of them here in the verses previous, verses 4 to 8. And there are other spiritual gifts spoken of in the Scriptures, but we are spiritually gifted with resources, and this church has everything it needs. I'm looking at you now from this side all the way to this side. And there's giftedness in this group to minister to all of the needs that this family of faith has, and not only here, but then to reach out to others. Another resource that you have is time. That's right. Now, you may say some people are more rich than others in things or maybe giftedness, but I tell you this, every one of us is gifted the exact same way when it comes to time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and every one of us has that much time. It's a resource. How sad it is that in this day and age, we waste so much of that time, that resource that could be used to bless other people. Here's another resource. I just like to call it just being there. Many of you know what it is to lose a loved one. I mentioned my parents, who've both gone on to glory, mother at age 89, dad at age 96. But I have two brothers. I'm the oldest of three boys. My youngest brother died of cancer at the age of 20. And my brother next to me died at the age of 49 of prostate cancer. So here I am, the only one left. And I know what it is to weep, to grieve, to sorrow, loss. And in those times when those funerals took place, people gathered with us. You know one thing I didn't need? Somebody to preach to me and say, oh, you'll get over it, and oh, God has better plans, and those are all true. But I didn't need to hear that. All I needed was just them being there. And just a hand on my shoulder, or maybe a hug. Just being there. God has gifted every one of us with the capacity to just be there for other people. Well, yes, every Christian has resources. I want you to notice also that we are to share those resources with fellow believers. That's what our verse says, doesn't it? Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That's wonderful. One of the wonderful things about being a vital, tied-in part of a family of faith like this, because we are looking out for each other. And when one part of the body hurts, as the Apostle Paul said, the rest of the body feels it. And I think maybe I've told you about when I guillotined my big toe once. I was teaching a Sunday school class on a Sunday morning, and I was writing on this chalkboard, and all of a sudden just came right off the wall and guillotined my toe, which broke it in many pieces. And oh, the pain and the anguish. Now, it was only my toe, so I just went on and said, well, that's all right. Well, I did manage to get through the morning and to not only teach that class but then preach. But after that, I went to St. Mary's Hospital, and they confirmed what I'd already realized, and nothing you can do about it. Just suffer it. But you realize that the whole body suffers when one other of the members suffer. And we feel it when somebody goes through it, don't we? And that's the way it ought to be. Because we need to share with each other in so many ways. It's wonderful to see what's happening right now this week, as a number of you are becoming involved in a team just to surround our dear Pastor Jonathan and family as they move to town. And some meals are being prepared, and some helpers are going to be there to help move stuff and all the rest. That's all part of the body life that God intends. We are to share with fellow believers. Not only that, we are to share with everyone. We read that in the book of Galatians, that we are to help everybody, and especially those of the household of faith. But we are to be helping everybody, the neighbors that live next to us and the people that we come in contact with. God help us to do that. And I want you to notice not only that, but Christian hospitality is different from social entertaining. You may wonder what I mean by that. Well, it's different in this way. Entertaining focuses on the host with a spotless house and food. But hospitality focuses on the guests. Doesn't necessarily have to be everything prim and proper in the house in order to extend hospitality. And one of the things that is decreasing these days in modern-day life is that we are less and less inclined to take people into our own homes. But may I encourage you to rethink that. Open your home to others and show hospitality in ways that maybe we've gotten away from. I want you to see something else here. The results of Christian hospitality. What are the results? Well, first of all, the needs of others are met. It helps other people if we demonstrate this kind of gracious Christian hospitality. And not only that, but God also provides for my needs. You might find it interesting to see what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, when he's talking to the church in Philippi that he had founded some time before, And that church became a part of his supporting team. You know, I'm so happy that here at Temple, you are supporting missionaries around the world. During these past two Sundays, we've had some wonderful missionaries with us, and you are supporting them to be able to do that work. And tonight, you're going to have some dear friends of ours. The Sadlers are going to be with us here from Japan. They have just walked through the tsunami experience of Japan, and they are still walking through that because that society was so devastated by the earthquake and tsunami. But they have been helping all kinds of people to get readjusted to life, and God has been using that to help people realize we lost all those resources, all that stuff. You saw all the pictures of that, didn't you, on TV and all the rest. And some of it now is even washing over onto the Pacific West Coast of Canada and the United States. Here it comes, floating all the way across the Pacific Ocean, all that stuff. But so many lives that were lost, so many things that were lost, and the Sadlers have been right in the middle of that, helping those people. But they couldn't have done that if you hadn't been supporting them. You'll hear more about that tonight. Be sure you're here. Not only that, so God provides for their needs, and that's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. He says in verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. What he's saying is they just sent another offering to him to help him in his ministry. And as he, the Apostle Paul, is ministering to other people, God raises up others to minister to him so he can continue that work. Notice what he says in verse 10, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. What are you saying? They also were very poor. They were going through some very difficult times, but out of their poorness, their poverty, they were helping him. And he says, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. What he's saying is thanks for the help. And as he's helping others, he gets help himself. And he notices what he says in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. They were the only church supporting him at that time. And if you were to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you'd see how they did that support, even being very, very poor. 2 Corinthians 8, and Paul's talking to the Corinthians saying, hey, I want you to be like the people up there at Philippi. He says, moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, Philippi, and Thessalonica, and Berea, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, listen to that, but it abounded in the riches of their liberality. You know, you don't have to have much to be liberal in giving. All you have to have is a heart that loves the Lord and loves people and wants to share. He says, verse 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Isn't that a beautiful statement? And so you'll find that the needs of others are met, but as you meet others' needs, God meets your needs. God also provides for my needs. And also, God gives happy surprises sometimes when you give. I think of an illustration in Hebrews. It talks about a man by the name of Abraham. Well, it doesn't mention him specifically, but it says that some have entertained angels unawares as a result of their liberal giving. And that was referring especially to a person like Abraham, who way back in Genesis chapter 18, you can read this story about how three men came walking to Abraham's tent. And it was customary then, and still is in the Middle East, somebody comes to your place, you invite them in, you give them a meal. And he did that, but he didn't realize that those were angels. And may the Lord, maybe the Lord will surprise you sometime. But happy surprises as you minister to other people. Well, it's time to close. But would you say this with me, that bottom line? Dear Lord, help me to use all my resources for your glory. So all I have is a gift from God. You and I didn't bring anything into this world, and none of us is going to take anything out. You can't take it with you, but you can, friends, send it on ahead. Look forward to that. Well, it's time to close, but turn that sheet over. Did you see this poem? Let your heart be broken for a world in need. Feed the mouths that hunger, soothe the wounds that bleed. Give the cup of water and the loaf of bread. Be the hands of Jesus serving in his stead. Here on earth, applying principles of love, visible expression, God still rules above. Living illustration of the living word to the minds of all who've never seen and heard. Blessed to be a blessing, privileged to care. Challenged by the need apparent everywhere, where mankind is wanting, fill the vacant place. Be the means through which the Lord reveals his grace, and add to your believing deeds that prove it true. Knowing Christ as Savior, make him master too. Follow in his footsteps, go where he has trod. In the world's great trouble, risk yourself for God. Don't you like that? Let your heart be tender and your vision clear. See mankind as God sees. Serve him far and near. Let your heart be broken by a brother's pain. Share your rich resources. Give and give again. God bless you.